Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that stand.
But God has been faithful.
Oh, God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave
me. My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance is. No more shall the shackles condemn me. You don't know my story.
You just don't know.
For if you did, you would lift up your hands. So just let me tell you, by faith you may as well break out and dance.
I love this about God because even though I'm not perfect. My deliverance. What I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony. Bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me.
Life and favor. Upon me.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wonderful.
God is my story.
Life and favor. Upon me.
Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God brought me out.
All the things I've gone through.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we sing it up?
Oh, how
God did.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister to Sister for this Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. At the top of the program, you heard Pastor John P. Key, James Fortune, and Saya singing Grace and Favor. Now, I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my wonderful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. And as always, we begin each and every program with the word of prayer. So won't you please bow with us as our beloved Evangelist Michelle takes us to the throne of grace. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. If we could Amen. All just close our eyes and bow our heads as we go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's once and again that I just want to thank you for allowing me to come boldly before your throne of grace and mercy to just stand in the gap for your people. But first, I would like to just thank you for giving me breath in my body
Just
another day, for just giving me, Father God, the activity of my limbs, and for just giving me another day that I have been able to do something. Father God, you have blessed me on this day to do something, God, with my body that I have not been able to do, praise God, for the past 3 years.
Hallelujah,
you have allowed
Jesus.
Me, God, to tie my shoes
Thank
with
you,
my
Lord.
Own two hands. Now, I know to some of you that might not be much, but to a person that has not been able to do it, that is wonderful, that is magnificent. See, sometimes we take for granted the small things, but when you're unable to do it, they become great things. So I'm thankful to you, Lord God. Little
yes,
becomes much
you, Jesus.
When you're unable to do it for 3 years and you are able to do it. So I just thank you and I praise you and I magnify you, Lord God, and I just thank you so much. Well, Father God, I ask that you just reach down and you touch all of those people in the world, your people, Lord God, whose bodies have been stricken and plagued with all types of diseases, Father God. I ask that you would just check in, Father God, and just move all through this world and just touch the afflicted all over the world, Lord God. Just touch as only you know how. Father God, move swiftly and just ease through this plagued world and touch as only you know how, Father God. Oh, Jesus, you sit high and you look low, Father God, and you know every hair on each of your children's head, Father God, for when we were just forming in our mother's womb, you knew the things that we would go through, Lord God. So I ask that you would just touch our bodies, whether we be in convalescent homes or our nursing homes or hospitals or orphanages or wherever we are, even if we're just sitting in our homes, listening on the radio, watching, just wherever we are, Lord Jesus, just move and touch our bodies, Lord God. Bless us from the crown of our heads to the sole of our very feet, Lord God. Whether we're young or whether we're old, I ask that you would just touch and just move all through our bloodstreams, Father God, through all of our vessels, through all of our body systems, Father God. Just move, Lord Jesus. I ask that you bless this program and this topic that we're both going to talk about. We know that we are known for talking about sensitive topics, Father God, so we just ask that you just soften the hearts and the ears of the listeners, Father God, and we just thank you for blessing both of us with the boldness, Father God, that we're able to bring these topics to your people with truth and without cutting corners. And we just thank you that we are not afraid, Father God, that we just stand here bold as we both are, Father God, that we don't bite our tongue, Father God. We stand firm on your word, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for all that you give us, Father God.
Yes,
and we do it,
Lord,
because we do it in your name, Lord Jesus. And we stand firm in your name, Lord Jesus. And we do it because we know that your people need the truth, Father God.
Yes.
We do it because we love you and we know that your people love you. And in order for them to stand with you one day, they have to you in truth. And in order to come to you in truth, they have to be taught the truth and they have to live in truth, Father God. So we just come loving you and trying to teach your people the truth as we have been taught the truth, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
We want to come closer and closer to you. In order to come closer and closer to you, Father God, we have to study your word, and we want your people to know your word. We ask that you just shut down these fires, Father God. We ask that you shut down all these natural disasters, Father God, in your time, Father God, not our time. Sometimes we want things to stop when we want them to, but we know that you'll do it in your time, Father God, because all lessons have not been learned right now. So we will be patient, Father God. Give those that don't have patience, give them patience, Father God. We ask that you continue to pour into Bishop Cook so she can continue to pour into the servant leaders here, and we can all continue to pour out into this big world. Bless us all as we continue to bless all of those that tune in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and glory to God. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for that beautiful prayer. Now, thank you, God. Tonight's program is entitled Cut the Cord Part 2, because last week our sister Evangelist Michelle did a phenomenal job bringing the teaching and leading the discussion about parents cutting the cord. So tonight I'm coming with Part 2 because I have a word for all the servant leaders. Tonight I've come with much love, out of much love, and because of my love for you and because of God's people, to tell us, some of us servant leaders, that some of us need to cut the cord on the love affair that we've been having with that spirit named Jezebel. Because how can you possibly help others cut the cord on their sin if you haven't cut the cord on your own sin? Now, Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, if any of these positions of service belong to you, then here's your job description: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Servant leaders, if you are not perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, if you are not building them up so that they can go out and live an abundant life in Christ, if you are not doing these, if you are not equipping, licensing, and ordaining God's called and sent, then you are not performing your job description. Because in First Peter 5, Peter exhorts church leaders to shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight, but not lording over it. In other words, those of us in spiritual authority have been instructed by God to not suffocate, manipulate, or make those our brothers and sisters around us feel inferior to us in any kind of way. Rather, we are called to care for the flock of God through instruction, correction, and counsel. But you know what? Many are walking away from Christ in the church because leaders, pastors, and teachers, and apostles, they're allowing Jezebel and her bastard children to run amok in their personal house and in God's house. There are leaders that are usurping what God is doing at every turn because they cannot will not cut the cord on their own selfish needs, their wants, or their desires. Now, for my young people in the chat room, you need to know and understand that Jezebel was a Phoenician princess who married Ahab, king of Israel. Now, her father was Ethbaal, and he was king and high priest of the Sidonians. Well, anyway, Queen Jezebel introduced Baal worship into Israel. And if you fast forward about 54 chapters in the Bible, you'll see where she's seducing God's servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to the idols. But let's make it quite clear. Anyone who is entertaining the spirit of Jezebel is entertaining a spirit that is trying to usurp, undo, undermine, undercut everything God is doing in his people. And I believe that many saints of God, they are not getting delivered, they are not being equipped, they are not being transformed because we as leaders, we're not training them up so that we can cut the cord. We are having a love affair with Jezebel. And with our current religious systems, it's real easy for Jezebel to breed some pretty self-centered, arrogant, non-serving leaders. Mm-hmm. Yes, my family, there are preachers who are operating in selfish, presumptive, and greedy pride. Oh, yes, we have leaders among us who put their desires above God. We have leaders who put their plans in motion instead of putting God's plan in action. We have leaders amongst us who serve mammon instead of God and who want the accolades that should only be given to God for themselves. So, you see, it's real easy for Jezebel to succeed in her cunningness by exalting that prideful, puffed-up pastor, you know, putting them on a pedestal, giving them the honor that only should belong to God. She also ties and tangles us up by luring some of us into doing the things of the world and by introducing doctrines and principles that may sound godly, but they still come from a worldly system. Now, you need to know this. Jezebel's worst enemies are the prophets. Her worst fear is that people will embrace repentance. And Jezebel hates repentance. Now, though this spirit will infiltrate the church, and, you know, we know the word of God declares and decrees that Satan can appear as an angel of light and his ministers can appear as righteousness. So they can come in looking like, you know, we're all salt and light. We're masquerading under true Christian doctrine. But we're not going to talk about repentance. Nope. They stay away from the subject of repenting. Jezebel hates humility. See, Jesus taught that greatness in the kingdom was not measured by our position of service or what we seem to be, but it is measured by the childlike quality of our heart. It is measured by the honesty of our heart. You know, the evidence of a healthy ministry is a ministry that is eager and willing to be submitted and accountable to other ministries and to one another. You know, they are truly servant-minded. So, you know, those of us servant leaders that we, you know, we won't cut the cord. You know, we think that spirituality is measured by power when it's actually measured by our meekness. It's demonstrated in our love. You know, have you ever heard a pastor tell you, I don't need nobody praying for me. Everybody can't pray for me. That's because Jezebel hates prayer. You see, intercessory prayer pries her fingers off the hearts and souls of men, even servant leaders. It sets people free in the spirit. So when we pray, it binds her. And when we pray against immorality, it cripples her. When we pray for submissive hearts, it's like the trampling of Jehu's horse upon her body. Jezebel hates us because we speak out against her. We who are sold out, humble, yielded, stomp down servant leaders with hearts after God's own, she knows we're her worst enemy. So when she wars, it's to stir the people against the message of the prophetic church. But more than she hates the prophets, she hates the words that we speak. See, her real enemy is the spoken word of God. That's how come you can see some pastors getting up in pulpits and they're going to preach you a song instead of God's word. They're going to teach you a poem instead of God's word. They're going to tell you a story about evolution instead of God's word. Because, you see, it is God's word that saves, that rescues, that heals, that transforms, that delivers, that restores.
Glory.
So she hates God's word. So because her ultimate hatred is against God himself, God, you know, she cannot stand the grace that God lavishes on us bond servants, even when we sin. She hates the fact that God can and will take the weakest and the lowliest of us and use us to bring her down. She hates the holiness and purity of heart that comes from God and surrounds those who serve in his court. Some of us need to cut the cord with our love affair, because just how sinister is her spirit? Well, Easton's Bible Dictionary says Jezebel has stamped her name on the history as a representative of all that is designing, crafty, malicious, revengeful, and cruel. In other words, if Flathead Satan had a female counterpart, she's it. She is the first great instigator, execution against the saints of God. She's not guided by principles. She's not restrained by fear from either God nor men. She is passionate in her attachment to heathen worship. And she spares no pain to maintain idolatry around her, corruption in all of its splendor. You see, she causes the pastor to abhor absolutes. So when the saints of God, they cling to the word of God for their standard of a behavior, instead of that servant leader being grateful to God, they're often, you know, they will ridicule, they will oppose. Now, I'm going to tell you why we need to cut the cord. Some of us need to cut the cord to this love affair that we're having with Jezebel, because there are three characteristics that identify this spirit, and they're revealed to us in God's reprimand to the church at Thyatira that was tolerating her spirit then.
See,
some of us, we need to cut the cord with compromise.
Yes.
Listen to what Revelation 2 and 20 says. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, or you tolerated that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. See, this is the spirit of teaching God's people to eat of the fruit of compromise. God hasn't called us to compromise. He's called us to be kings and priests. And his priests were always taught between the different, you know, between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. And if you're a called out servant leader, you better know the difference. Ezekiel 22 and 26 says, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. And then it goes on in that, in the 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen, God's people, especially his servant leaders, are called from sin and the love of the world. Now, you know, you will see some pastors, they'll refute this, you know, because after a while, they're so comfortable in the sin that they're in, they can't tell the difference between things that are what's holy and what's not.
Yeah.
Or they decided that something is holy according to them,
yeah,
according by, you know, according to their standards. There are actually some pastors who will just not acknowledge that God abhors certain sin. You know, they'll say, no, all sins are the same. Well, yes and no. While any sin can disqualify us from heaven, it is only through Jesus that our sins can be eliminated, so that we can be found worthy to enter the kingdom. The Bible makes a distinction between sins. Some was referred to as abominations, others are not. The Apostle Paul made a point to remind those who had just come to Christ to avoid fornication. Then he goes on in one of his epistles to tell us why. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. Excuse me. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So what do we say? We are saying that we have been brought with a price. So we have to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belongs to God. Now, you know, we got elections are coming up, and we got evangelicals saying things, and folks, everybody got something to say right about now. And everybody's talking about same-sex marriages. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus tells us that sex is only sanctioned between a married man and woman. He said, and the word of God says in Matthew 19, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And then it says in Matthew 9, and I say unto you, 19 and 9, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, which is put away, commits adultery. So what God is saying is any sexual act that is performed outside of God's will is sin. It is a sin. Did you hear what I just said, Pastor? See, I need to tell somebody tonight that I don't care who you are, how rich you are, what you have, how many degrees you have, but you need to know that your rights stop where mine begin. And my everything begins and ends with the word of God. Now, I love all God's children, and anyone is welcome to come and sit under God's word. But I cannot go against God's word and marry same-sex couples. I love everybody, despite their sexual orientation. Because to truly be like Christ, I have to hate the sin, but love the sinner. But amen. I cannot compromise God's word. You see, Jesus sat with sinners. He loved them and he ministered to them. But he never, ever, not once, compromise his father's word to accommodate them. When he forgave the woman who was caught in adultery and saved her from being put to death by the religious leadership, he promptly assured her that she was not condemned, but he commanded her very firmly to go and sin no more. You see, he was not sanctioning her behavior because he had spared her life. He was saying, because of grace, because of my Father's great love for you, go and sin no more. You know, servant leaders that have that don't know how to cut the cord to Jezebel, they have an aversion to repentance. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss transformation. They can sit right there and listen to members of their church gossip. They can look at the stairs, the side eyes and the stairs being shot across the sanctuary, but they won't open their mouths and say a word. In Revelations 2:21, the word of God says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent their deed. God tells us that he gives people, including servant leaders under the influence of this spirit of Jezebel, space to repent. But if now we refuse to repent, no, he'll set us down. You see, when we are tied up, tangled up, and wrapped up in Jezebel, that pastor will downplay obedience. And they'll substitute the word performance for the word obedience, you know. And they make obedience sound like it's something bad. So you're not going to hear a lot of pastors talking about repentance. They want to tell you, oh, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. You can walk in his goodness. But they de-emphasize repentance. You know, they refuse to preach it. They even ignore or acknowledge the need for it. One pastor that I heard saying was talking about the word, he was talking about the word to accommodate his compromised doctrine. Repentance to him was merely accepting the kingdom of God. And we know that's not right. There are three words in the Greek language for repentance in the New Testament. Okay? And one of them is metanomia. And it's a verb which means change of mind that produces remorse or regret for sin, but does not produce a change of heart. This word is used to describe Judas's repentance. Okay? Now, metanoia, it is used to denote a change of mind and heart after knowledge. This verb is used with the cognate noun, and it uses it talks about true repentance. It talks about a changed life, desires, and purpose. This is the repentance that appropriates the atonement through which grace and forgiveness of sin are imparted. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Then it says, but you go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus came to turn us from our iniquities, which is true biblical repentance, okay? And biblical repentance means that God is calling all of us, especially servant leaders, to be willing to let him change us into the people that he wants us to be. We want to be a people that are conformed to the image of his son through the interworkings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As the Apostle John informs us, no one who willfully, deliberately continues to practice sin has ever seen God or has ever known him. Okay? Now, you know, we know that we all sin and we fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that God wants us to continue to practice sin. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 23:22, but if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, and they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. See, if you are called and sent by the Most High God, you're going to preach repentance. Oh, yeah. You're going to preach the need for a Savior. And if they're not preaching a need for a Savior, then I just need to tell you, cut the cord. Let's look what it says here. The same spirit of foredoms that are talked about in Hosea 4:12 that infected ancient Israel is alive and as well, and it's in most Christian churches today. And the characteristic of the spirit is a blatant refusal to repent. You know, if a pastor is not teaching that the wages of sin is death, if a pastor is not teaching repentance, if they're not teaching the application of God's word in a way that we can overcome sin, then just know that Jezebel is in the house and somebody needs to cut the cord. Servant leaders, we got to stop refusing to acknowledge God's correction. Revelation 2 says, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. So, you know, this one of the third and final characteristics that, you know, a pastor needs to cut his cords from Jezebel is they refuse to acknowledge that God punishes or corrects his children. So a lot of times, you know, corrective scriptures are ignored or they're twisted, because if a pastor doesn't have a reachable, teachable spirit for themselves, how can they teach the flock how to have one towards God? You know, God tells us that he corrects his children, and those who are without chastisement are illegitimate. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So if you got a pastor that wants to act like God will not correct us, will not punish us, you got another thought coming. Let's look at what it says in Hebrews 12:6-11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for in a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. God is telling the spirit of Jezebel and all those who are under her influence that they will be cast into a bed. And for all of those who are committing adultery with her, they're going to have great tribulations unless they repent. So we need to understand that. We need to know and understand as servant leaders that we cannot be, you know, we have to know that God will not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. And we mock our Lord with compromised lifestyles. And you know, we can or we mock our Lord when we only teach the scriptures that we like, or we want to skirt around those sins that we might have present in our own lives, or we just want to sit by and say nothing when we see things going on right in front of us. You know, we're not going to say anything because we don't want to upset anybody, because then they might not want to put as much money in the plate. But God says we cannot keep on having this adulterous affair with Jezebel and the world and serve him. You know, I am so tired of watching pastors think that they the end all, know all, and cure all when that's Jesus. You know, you don't hear them preaching about intercessory prayer too much because, see, they feel like they need to lay hands on you because, see, you know, they gonna intercede for you. No, I'd rather have Jesus intercede for me. Thank you. You know, and you don't hear these pastors telling people to go to Jesus and talk to Jesus and sit with Jesus and learn of Jesus because they're afraid that if the flock does that, then they will become suspect. It's time, servant leaders, to cut the cord on Jezebel. It's time to put her bastard children out in the cold. Put that pride out in the cold. Put your hypocrisy out in the cold. Put everything, your fear, your insecurity, put them all out in the cold. Put your anger out in the cold. Put it all out there because you're hurting the body of believers. There are souls hanging in the balance. You know, you can't pimp God. You can't pimp the church. You're supposed to be teaching the saints, bringing them into the knowledge of Christ so that they can go out and do the work of the kingdom. You know, nobody knows, well, these are my ministers. Those are my, no, they're not. They're God. You can't tell God who to use, when to use them, or how to use them. You don't get to make that call. You cannot put your foot on the neck of God's called and sent and think God's going to be all right with that. You cannot try to tell or make your flock feel guilty because they might want to go and visit another church from time to time because you're afraid they might hear something that might cause them to look at you in a different light. If you don't get out of God's way, if we all don't get out of God's way and know God is in control of his house, God is in control of his people, and we had better get on our job. We are not entitled. We are not here to be served. We are not here to be given the accolades that only belong to God. We are not here to become the ministry. The visions do not belong to us. that are given to us by God, our positions of service, are not given. We do not call ourselves. We're called by God. So what makes you think you have the right to puff up your importance and decide for God who, when, and what, and why he should use somebody? Servant leaders, you got to cut the cord. You got to start living right before God's people, rightly dividing that word of God so that they can grow up into spiritual maturity and become all that God wants them to become. So tonight, servant leaders, some of you, I just simply beg you, I implore you, please cut the cord. Cut the cord on your greed. Cut the cord on wanting, coveting, and jealousy, and competing. Cut the cord so that God's people will be blessed. Amen. I pray that you received something on tonight that will bless you. And if you're an up-and-coming servant leader, let me tell you something also. Jezebel gets you too. Because, see, there are servant leaders that are out here. They pour into you. They build you up. They do everything that God says they're supposed to do. And then what do? You want to jump out there and start running around to all these churches, want people to call you this and call you that. You know, or you want to start walking like you're them. You're out here mimicking your covering instead of allowing God to cultivate you to be who he wants you to be. Just because, you know, do not expect because, you know, you decided a month ago you're going to get in ministry that you can then go out here and walk with the authority and the power and the discernment and the wisdom of a servant leader that's been out there doing it for 30 years. It don't happen. So then you wonder how come people will laugh, look at you crazy and don't take you seriously when you say something, and it's because they know it's not you. Some of them have heard your servant leader say something. Some of them have heard other people preach these same messages or say these things. Learn how to be authentic within yourself. Learn how to know that, know and understand that you're good enough. And God loves you just as you are. So I just praise God that on tonight, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you really can understand that it's very important for us to be in the right place doing what God has actually called us to do, and we don't have to make it bigger, puff it up, make it anything. We just need to be available and obedient in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to throw it over to our Christian reporter in the street. What you hearing out there, Evangelist Michelle?
Well, Bishop, I just thank you for that. That is, you know, what you spoke on today is something that really happens more often than a lot of people know. And basically, you know, I feel that servant leaders should have self-humility and courage and insight to really admit that they can benefit from the expertise and the talents, you know,
yes,
of others. They should be able to admit that other people have been blessed with talents and gifts other than them. You know, the Bible teaches us that God blesses different people, individuals with different talents. You know, some people can cook, some can sing, some can, you know, everybody can do different things. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes God will bless a servant leader with people like you. You are praising about us all the time. You know, God bless me with this individual and this individual and this individual. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes God will bless a pastor with different individuals at just certain times. And there's these other servant leaders will come to these churches, these brick and mortars and wherever, okay? And they come into these churches. I have witnessed it myself just as being now a minister's wife, and we've been to a few churches, okay? And so people will come into the church, and, you know, they may have a talent, and they get taken advantage of, okay? Just speaking of my husband himself, he's been taken advantage of. He may get upset, but hey, honey, it is what it is, okay? You'll be upset. I'm sorry. But my husband has been taken advantage of before. Some people have appreciated him, you know what I'm saying? But some have really not. And me being the person that I am, God bless me with this mouth, and I use it, okay? So I speak up. And I say, you know, it's not right. You shouldn't misuse people, you know. And just because somebody can or gifted in more areas than one, you know, don't misuse them, okay? The topic is cut the cord. Servant leaders cut the cord, okay? You were coming from one angle that the head or the overseer should cut the cord on Jezebel, all right? Okay, but sometimes the people below will cut the cord on the overseer because people have to be careful of who you're mistreating. Sometimes you need to be careful of the ones you're mistreating because, you know, some people may say, you know what, I've taken all that I can take. Yes, I am a woman or a man of God or a child of God if it's a teenager or whatever, but God knows my heart, and he knows that I have done all that I can. But I will tell you, just like Job, God has blessed some people to be like Job and have the patience of Job, and they can withstand more than some others can. So there are some people that can withstand more than others, but there are some that will up and take their gifts and take them elsewhere. Some will be blessed to start their own, as you were, thank God, because, hallelujah, you have other people here working with you. God is good. And then some, they go on to bless another head overseer in another church or wherever. You see what I'm saying? So people have to be careful not to abuse God, because it's like you're throwing your blessing back in God's face. If God blesses you with good serving leaders, with these talents, you see, and you don't use them, you know, because I'm just going to tell you, I have seen so many new pastors. They come in the beginning with all these wonderful ambitions, dreams, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And in the beginning, they have the good heart and they're going to do this. And then they allow that Jezebel spirit to attach themselves to them, and they allow those other pastors from other churches with the shiny bling bling and all the, you know, their their big houses and their fancy shoes and clothes and diamonds and, you know, all their fancy to just, you know, blind them of what they started out with.
Supposed to be doing.
God,
come on.
They forget about God and what it's all about. And they think about the material, and they forget about God and why they started.
Tommy.
And they listen to these earthly people. You see, they listen to the earthly people and forget all about God and what it's all about. And then that's when that Jezebel got their clutches in them. And they forget all about the people that were there with them in the beginning when they were in the trenches.
That's right.
And the very ones that were with them in the trenches, getting their dirt all under their fingernails, that those servant leaders that were with them, not taking no money, doing it with them just for blood and sweat. You understand? And they dog them. You see? And throw them and discard them like trash. They discard them like trash. But see, that's okay. Because God remembers us.
And he will lift you up, sister. Amen.
That's right. He remembers. Because, see, we can look them in their face and still love them.
That's right.
God.
Amen.
God remembers them, too. You see?
Amen.
I can cut the cord. But can they cut that Jezebel cord? That's the question.
Come on. That's the question right there.
We're going to continue to stand in God, hand in hand, bring the soft topic, but we're going to bring the sensitive topics that God knows his people need to hear, because as long as we have these fictitious people claiming to be God's men and women, bringing, you know, the word to his people, we're going to continue to pull the covers off of them and show them faces. Because they're perpetrating, and we're not going to let them continue to pull the wool over God's people's eyes. We're not going to let them continue to do it. God is
good,
and
sister.
We are too. I love you.
Hey.
I love you, sissy.
I love you too, my precious angel. Hallelujah. See, you know what? The reason I love about this ministry is because, you know, I'm the bishop. That is my position of service. That doesn't entitle me to anything but the privilege of making sure the network is paid for, the programs are put in, that everything, the music comes off without a hitch, and that the word of God goes forth. But each and every one of the servant leaders that are here on this network, they are not my subordinates. They are my equals. God called them and sent them just like he called and sent me. So now what would I look like trying to tell them, I'll let you say a few words, but don't say too much. No.
Yeah.
At the top of this program, I said one of the evidence of a successful servant leader is one who allows God to be God, who wants to see every true believer serving in their right, serving God in their rightful place, and we know how to lead without micromanaging. You ask anybody here in spirit, well, does Bishop give you all topics? Nope. Well, does Bishop? Nope. I believe the Holy Spirit is working through each and every one of these service leaders just like he's working through me. And I'm grateful to have them here. So right now, we're going to go ahead and get into it. Please, if you feel like clapping back, if you disagree with anything that I said or the word of God has said on tonight, trust me.
Or me.
I'm
or
a certified bona fide woman. I can take it. And I'm just going to come at you with the word of God, because, see, for all the scriptures that I did use, I have that many more again that I didn't use. So if you would like to have a word tonight, just praise God, and you would also like to encourage our servant leaders that might be falling into that trap, that, you know, they might need to cut that cord, please pressure 1. And just know that you're in the house. If you have a comment or a question, you can ask now by pressing your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. And we're going to start. I see that we have Prophetess Holloway in the house tonight, and she has pressed her 1. So we will let her come on into the room. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. Praise God. Bishop, this is just a wonderful, wonderful word and a wonderful lesson. Yes, you came up against the spirit of Jezebel, and that is wonderful, because it allows us to repent if we see anything in ourselves. There's so much in that, and I would like to encourage the person, the servant leader who's trying to get rid of Jezebel. You're going to have to give yourself totally and completely to God. And Jesus is saying, be not afraid. Preach the pure word of God.
That's all it
means. Go without a few dollars. God is keeping the ministry going. It's not about the people's money anyway. It's about God. The miracle of God. So be encouraged. Be alive with Evangelist Michelle said about being authentic, or Bishop, you may have said it.
Yes.
Be the way God wants you to be. Stay in your own lane. God don't have one lane for somebody to go in. He wants to use us all in the way that he would have us to be used.
Amen.
And so, courage, this is a beautiful word, and I believe that, you know, it's just like a baby, just us that has to let go of the cord, but we got to let go of controllers. Jezebel was a controller, a manipulator.
Yeah, but a manipulator.
We got to let go of these people that hinder us from fully being a servant of God, for fully giving that word.
Good.
Because God is taking care of each and every soul that he sends our way, just like he's taking care of us. It was just a beautiful word. It was a good word.
God bless you.
And I thank God for his word. God bless you.
Amen.
Bishop.
God bless you. God bless you, prophetess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, we're going to ask, is Apostle with you this evening, or?
No, he isn't. I should have thrown that in.
Okay, I just didn't want to overlook him, you know what I'm saying, because some, you know,
amen.
Bless their hearts, they're even getting
you.
Right there together. So, amen. All right, I'm going to hear a word from, let me go on and get some of this Spirit Alive staff up in here. Pastor Jeffrey Scott, what say you, my brother? What say you?
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. It's the on-point message that I believe for these times, because in these times we need to stop hearing a lot from people, different social outlets, different media, but we need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear from God. And see, the thing is, you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot, but I just want to say that, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, some of the servant leaders, sometimes they talk about, you know, I want to hear the voice of God, or I heard the voice of God, or God has told me to let you know something, or God has spoken to me. And then, you know, you think about it, and you say, did God to you, what did his voice sound like? What you know, what register was his voice? Was it low? Was it deep? Was it high? Or, you know, but that's not the point. God's voice is in his word. And if we do what the word of God says, which is to study to show ourselves approved unto God, we don't need to fear being manipulated or being used or being tricked by any type of enemy or somebody that thinks they can get something over on us as children of God. But we have to understand that God's voice comes in his word. It doesn't matter if it's high, low, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, it's his word, and that's what it's about. And so we really have to understand studying God's word to show ourselves approved is what it's about. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. That was good, Ty. That was good. Amen. Because that's all the people of God need to hear right now. Because, like I said, it's only the word of God that rescues and proves and fine tunes and delivers and, you know,
So all this other stuff, you know, that so many pastors are bringing into the pulpit today, it distracts from the word. And
amen.
People leave the church more confused. They're more confused when they leave than they were when they came in.
Exactly.
You know, so we gotta, if we just simply operate according to God's word, you know, if we're operating in holiness, if we're operating in humility, if we're praying constantly, you know, we're gonna have that wisdom. And you know, for me, I sit and I listen to all the servants here at Spirit Alive, and I just get excited. And you know, they're like, well, Bishop is going to get me because I'm talking. I said, no, Bishop is not going to get you because the Spirit, the gifts are being stirred up. The Spirit of God is moving. The people of God are being blessed because you might say something in a way that might be just what that person needs to hear, you know, to make it click for them. And so here I try to give every individual that's listening has many different opportunities to get that word through as many different people as I possibly can. Because that, I know, you know, because that's what we need. That's what we need for today. And if we're not giving them the word, if we're not training them up so they can stand on their own two feet, then we're not serving our purpose. So I see Mother Mattie is in the house, and then I'm going to go to Apostle Zeta Flowers. Mother Mattie, good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Good evening to you and Evangelist Michelle Scott and to Reverend Pastor Scott and good evening to all of you, giving honor to God who is the head of my life, and God bless you all. Both of you ladies had a mouthful right there. Both of you ladies really said it all. You're talking about the Jezebel spirit, and I know, and I'm not calling names. I know how my church is not calling no names. It's my favoritism in the church. Like my mother said, making bridges over noses. It's not right. And then the pastor, I'm just saying, the pastor says something, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that, just like it was. And then all of a sudden, don't mention that no more, then it's a different thing. And it's like, and I'm just saying, some pastors don't reach out to the church family, and you have people ill and sick, and whether it's just a handful or whether it's many, you know, the pastor should call and reach out to the church family. So you see, I'm just saying, I see a lot of people in the church that are clergy men as well as clergy women. They say one thing, but it's something else. They're not, some of them are not doing the will of God. So you're talking about the Jezebel spirit. You're so right. You're so right. People have to pray.
Yes, ma'am.
They have to get rid of that Jezebel spirit. Because that Jezebel spirit is wicked. It is wicked.
It's wicked.
I hate to say it. That's why this COVID-19 virus is in effect. And God started cleaning house with the churches. It started with the churches. Never before in history, church have been closed. So that's telling you something. Even church was closed during Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. So that's you know, God has gotten our attention. And that if that don't give you food for God, nothing will. And I still say, like the Bible says, we don't humble ourselves before the Lord. But if we don't humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways and don't sin no more, and if we don't see God like we're supposed to, come back to Him and pray to Him. I mean, everybody all over the world. If we don't the Lord is not going to hear from heaven, and He's not going to hear the land. I'm sorry. That's what I feel. Until everybody is obedient to God's word, and they don't say that in the Bible. Until we do that, then the Lord will hear from heaven, and He will hear the land. But a lot of people, and I'm just saying, like under shepherds and so forth and so on, they're not doing what God, you know, want them to do and what God tells them to do. And then when people speak out, like you speak out, and Evangelist Michelle Scott speak out, and maybe other people speak out, then they all mad and their mind is all stuck out. But the truth is the
truth.
And the truth will set you free. And if you're wrong,
ma'am.
You're just wrong. You're wrong.
That's
you're just
right,
wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you see a whole lot of stuff going on. It's just not right. It's just not right. And
not
people are not
right.
Stupid. People are not crazy. People see what's going
that's
on.
That's right, Mother Mackie. That's right. You know, and that's what that's what's so sad. Treat people, you know, if you know that you are the head of a body of believers and they have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, just like you're supposed to have him living on the inside of you, don't play on their intelligence. You
that's
know,
right. That's
because
right.
You're not
that's
fooling,
right.
You're not fooling the people of God. A lot of the people of God, they know. They knew you when. They know why you
that's
don't
right.
talk about certain things from the pulpit because it's all up in your family. You're not fooling them.
No.
You know?
No.
They know what you're really about. You know, they watch you talk out of both sides of your neck. You know, they watching you talk out of both, listening to you talk out both sides of your mouth. You know, they see you one way when a church is visiting, and you act another way when ain't nobody looking but, you know, just the regular members there. They not stupid.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
They're not stupid, and you need to stop treating them like they are. But anyway, I'm gonna let Apostle Zeta come on in here because she is one of them servant leaders after God's own heart. So I know you have something to say, Apostle.
Good. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a good topic and good lesson on tonight because, as Mother said, the Jezebel spirit is an evil spirit.
Yes, she is.
In so many ways, I mean, because there's jealousy, there's control, there's just all kinds of things. I've seen that spirit
ma'am.
Almost destroy a church. And I must say, within my church and ministry, the Lord actually protected us of that kind of a spirit. And could have very easily entered in, and that kind of spirit can do a lot of damage. So we have to be careful. If we are aware of it, we need to cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus.
Pray it on about.
Yes, and also if there are any leaders that have new Christians, new converts in their churches, they need to really protect them of those kinds of people with that spirit, because they will even try to remove them from the church, from a good Bible teaching church, and take them under their own wings and take them completely out of the church. Very careful with them because they're such a conniving spirit within them that they can really trick a new convert.
Yes.
They
can undo all the work that you've done.
Or if their leader is not protecting them from that kind of spirit. So I just wanted to interject that. I enjoyed everything else I heard. And we have to watch it because it's very prevalent in the body of Christ. And we have to be aware, watch it, and not allow it to fester among us and in our church and among those that the Lord has given us to train up and to teach and to disciple.
That's right.
All right.
Amen. Oh, that was good, though. But it's the truth, you know, because it's like, you know, Jezebel knows if you kill the head, the body will die. And so, you know, she really, you know, and if you ever notice, when it comes to servant leaders, a lot of times the opinions and are what the pastor believes is prevalent within the body. Because have you ever noticed you go to certain churches, you see the pastor, he pulls up in his big Cadillac, and he gets out with his shiny suit, and then you see the congregation. And they all pulling up in their Lexuses, and they're this, and they're that, and they're getting out in their shiny suits. Now, the difference between that pastor is that pastor's car and shiny suit was paid with your tithes and offering. Mm-hmm. You're trying to keep up with the pastor, and you ain't got the pastor's money.
Amen.
Amen.
Or you got kids. You know, you've got to know, you've got to say to God, you've got to recognize when a pastor is setting you up to fail. If they don't have enough sense to know it, you need to have enough sense to know it and begin to pray or get away.
Amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, some of these pastors, they don't want to be corrected. They think, you know, everybody's supposed to just say yes, 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 be your yes man. Well, no. The only person we should be yes and an amen in is Jesus, you know.
Amen.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know I say this a lot, but I love every member of the No Bound Spirit Alive family. And I pray, and it's so beautiful, whether you're a mother, whether you're a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, an apostle, it's just so beautiful to watch God work through his people and to hear him move through his people and to know that the truth is being told and that people can respond and people can hear the love and the unity and, you know, it just makes my heart full. It just gives you joy to know, you know, to be able to hear my sister Evangelist Michelle now, you know, how much she's grown just from, like, the first program or the first comment. Or to hear, you know, Mother Matt T come on every week after week with such beautiful wisdom. And she and people need to hear that. You know, they need to hear that.
Amen.
You know, or Apostle Zeta, you know, we come together, you know, we are one. We support one another. We work with one another. We did it, you know, when I was in California. We do it on Spirit Alive. You know, we are family. We are a family of ministries. I support, I pray for. I thank God for every personal ministry of every servant leader that's here at Spirit Alive. I don't want to, and I've never told anybody, well, you need to just, you know, be at Spirit Alive. No, I tell them just the opposite. Honey, I know you were stopped down, bonafide, qualified, called and sent servant leader. They need you up in them brick and mortars. You need to go help somebody, because the help that they're getting right now is non-existent. So, you know, I want them to do what God wants them to do. I'm just here to assist them in any kind of way. And I don't beg God's people. You're not going to hear us selling prayer cloths, spring water, vitamins. We don't peddle our books. And even though I've written books, you know, you're not going to hear that on the Spirit Alive Network. This is the transformation station. My book, even though it's about the Holy Spirit, it can help you, but it can't save you. Only the Word of God can do that. My brother, Pastor Jeffrey, Lord have mercy, he can make dead people get up and start shouting. He sang so beautifully. But you know what? That song, as beautiful as he sings, and Dr. Henderson twinkles that piano, it can't save nobody. It can't give anybody eternal life. Only Jesus can do that. And see, that's what I love about everybody here. They recognize that. They realize that. You know, nobody is here to make me look good. Everybody is here proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ because he is the only great one. He is the only awesome one. So, servant leaders, you know, again, we're telling you out of love because we need to get it right because we're letting down God. And we're letting down his people when we don't. So it's just my fervent prayer that we just constantly examine ourselves, make sure that we're doing everything for the right reason. You know, that the visions that we're being given are our visions. You know, let's make sure that we're just keeping it humble, keeping it authentic, keeping it 100, so that the people of God will be able to go out and do that to the rest of the dying, sin-sick world. So I just want to thank everybody for your wonderful comments. I want to thank my sister, Evangelist Michelle, for just all, just the way we work off of each other. I mean, like I said, when she, you know, just her wanting to cut the cord with the parents, just wanted, you know, I said, hey, you know, servant leaders are oftentimes regarded as spiritual parents, and there's some stuff that we need to cut off from ourselves so that we can help God's children grow up to be the healthy, fearless, effective servants of God that he wants them to be. So
amen.
I just, you know, we just pray that you really take this to heart. Again, we're not trying to beat you in the dirt. We just want to make you aware, because if we can see it, you know God is looking at it. And we just want, you know, we just want us to get it right, all of us to get it right while we still are able to. So on behalf of myself, this is Shalene Cook and my beautiful sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, along with the rest of our Spirit Alive family, Mother Mattie, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, and, of course, Apostle Zeta Flowers. We want to thank all of you for coming out tonight and listening. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Amen.
Bless you. We
love you all.
Love you.
Bye.